Magandang gabi sa inyong lahat, and welcome to the Filipino-American National News. On tonight's show, we have a very special guest, a guest that we haven't had on the fan in quite a while, and that is Filipino-American director Patricio Janelsa. But Patricio, you're more than just a director now.
I wear many hats. I've always worn many caps, Alan, so, you know, but filmmaking is my favorite. You know, I mean, it's obviously because I guess as an artist, that's, you know, I'll never always be a filmmaker first, regardless of what I do. No, my son will argue I'm a dad first, I guess, you know.
Yeah, that's
you know how it goes.
I know how it goes now, not being a dad. It's your dad first and everything else is second and third. But you have a couple new projects that you have out there. You have you've dived into the comic book realm, which I almost feel like it's a natural progression for someone like you with the interest that I know that you have out there. You have these comics, ones and twos, and the mix comics, and you've had comics that in association with your film Lumpia with a Vengeance. Mm-hmm. For our listeners that aren't familiar with your Lumpia series of films, how did the first Lumpia come about?
Oh, man. I always have to try to condense this answer. Everything originated with the first Lumpia movie, which is, we call it the ultimate homemade film because it was a movie I shot in my teens, growing up in Daly City, California, shot in my camcorder. And it was about a movie, you just gathered your friends and we made a movie about a superhero that, not fight crime, but protected these high school students from bullies through the use of lumpia, weaponizing lumpia. So that comic book quirky film kind of, because of my experience, and that itself is a reunion movie because I had started making movies as with these same folks when we were kids called Kid Heroes. So Lumpia itself was just a kind of a reunion movie with the kids growing up. But Lumpia was the one that kind of progressed, I guess, caught the eye Variety, the Hollywood trade paper where they saw it in Hawaii International Film Festival and gave us a positive review. And that totally put our movie on the map, I guess, you know. And that led to a lot of things. My music video career with the Black Eyed Peas and all that. And then with Lumpia, we ended up crowdfunding Lumpia with a Vengeance, which came out during the pandemic. That itself was a long journey. That one was not homemade. That one was my really first real movie. Danny Trejo was in it, so I don't think you could get Danny Trejo to be in a homemade camcorder film. But yeah, that movie expanded upon the story. And, we did the usual film festivals, won an award, blah, blah, blah. But what through that, you know, it was our appearance at San Diego Comic-Con. We caught their eye because we had created our own comic book to market the film, all done with filmmakers, like our producer, I didn't know Drew, our stunt coordinator, Drew. So that first issue that we did, Lumpia with a Vengeance, was very special because it was made in-house. But, and then we exploded at Comic-Con. We premiered the movie there. And it was insane because you assume a movie called Lumpia with a Vengeance and just the audience that we cater to, Filipino-American, Asian-American film festivals, we knew that was going to our route. But we realized our audience, it was the first non-Filipino, pretty mainstream. I mean, we realized our true audience was just nerds in general. I don't know why. I'm comic book lovers, and so that's where we're at now. We've kind of... The fans have coined it the deep fried universe. I didn't make that term. So the DFU now is like, I don't know, 13 issues deep. We've expanded the story beyond the movie itself. People are clamoring, want the Lumpia 3. I don't know if we're going to earn that. But, we're just kind of riding the wave right now and using this new platform of comic books to, not only expand upon just the current Lumpia storyline, but, other things like the ones and twos, DJ, other stories that have been wanted to dive in. I always say I'm going to stop until people lose interest because everything we've done has been crowdfunded. That's been kind of like our bread and butter, right? It's our backers that fuel us.
And you talk about...
Long answer, I'm sure. I kind of gave you a whole... But then, yeah, that's how Lumpia started.
You talk about your experience making music videos. You've also had a couple music concert series, Lumpia Palooza, I think one and two. And now you made Lumpia with a vengeance. It's a whole different realms in terms of responsibilities and in regards to directing that on a longer schedule in regards to that type of thing of putting a movie together. What did you learn in making a long form movie as regard to when you made your reunion film with the original Lumpia?
I mean, as a filmmaker, I mean, I went to USC Film School, right? So every filmmaker's dream is to make their first feature. That's always been my goal. You know, make a film that breaks, you know, that gets you noticed and hopefully goes to Sundance or South by Southwest. I mean, that's the path of every filmmaker. I mean, going to USC Film School was a dream come true, and I thought that was the path I was taking. You know, but I did music videos for 2 decades, I think, you know, and I kind of used that to, you know, learn my craft. I was doing this all part time. I mean, I still have my day job, you know, so it was kind of it was cool to kind of create a crew. Like, we built a team through all those 2 decades of work, you know, finding a director of photography, an editor, you know, working with AJ, you know, Colomai from Xylophone Films, who became my partner in crime and all of this, you know. And so the feature film came, like, that was our goal. And I think once Lumpia the Vengeance came about, it was almost like, well, obviously when Kickstarter was such a thing, like, if we were going to crowdfund a feature, it had to be, we felt Lumpia was just the perfect vehicle, because at least it had some sort of a audience. I mean, maybe not millions of followers, what have you, but at least had a niche. So what did I learn with Lumpia the Vengeance? I mean, man, that's still, I mean, you're talking about, I mean, it's been a 12-year journey now with this film, and we just finished distribution. I mean, last week we've hit another milestone that we're now available on Tubi, you know, so now people can watch the movie for free. But I think every phase of production has been a learning experience. I've used, just like I did with the music videos, I utilized making a feature film, which again was made possible for our backers, right? They made that possible. You know, I used every part of that film to learn more about filmmaking. I helped write it, I directed it, but I even, you know, dabbed into special effects. So I did everything. I wore so many hats on Lumpia the Vengeance. But, you know, because out of necessity, right, the money and resources weren't there, and we wanted to make it better. We didn't want to half-ass this movie. I think that was the one cool thing I loved about my cast and crew, was that, you know, the money that we did raise did not equal the movie that we wanted. And so we had to utilize everything and even have to learn new skills. So I think the one thing that I've, realized about filmmaking, even though I thought I had known because I'd worked on the debut, was just all the other things. Distribution is such a phase that people aren't really prepared for, you know. And while I'm blessed that I got the movie out in the world now, people can watch it, and it's on Tubi, it was a grind. I would say distribution wasn't just as hard as trying to get your movie made. It's a miracle to get a movie made. I mean, if it was that easy, everyone would be doing it. But I think what's crazy is that, I always bring up the debut, because I can't, even though I went to USC, I went through the school, the hard knock school filmmaking through the debut, the Filipino American film, right? That was my real training in filmmaking. So to see what that team did through that, I kind of incorporated, but I was not prepared. You know, there are certain things that happen in the filmmaking game. So it's still a grind. It's like going to war. And in a way, the movie's not even done. Like, yeah, it's still out there, but we're still, there's still things behind the scenes that we're still trying to make sure we close that door shut on Lumpia with a Vengeance.
And you think with the journey, which also has some irony with that word, with the debut that you've been through, that With Lumpia with a Vengeance coming out, say, 20 years later from when the debut came out, that there was things that you learned from that experience and having the progression of technology that helped in regards to getting your film made, or lessons that you learned from, like, from the director of the debut, from Gene, from his experience and the stuff that he went through and the stresses that he went through his film.
Yeah, I mean, so me and Gene are very close friends. we have regular meetings, actually. And he was the one, my former boss, though I don't call him a boss anymore. We're practically best friends. I think that he was, look, the grind of they always say that directing movies like it's a lonely island, right? Because it doesn't matter how many people are helping you, how many people are supporting you. I had a lot of that, you know. It was it just felt like a lonely island, just really, because you are really directing the ship, and there's so many choices and decisions you have to do. And Gene was really one who I relied on and venting a lot of the issues. And, you know, like you said, filmmaking is difficult. Independent filmmaking, way much more. And, you know, because you can't definitely afford all the things you need, a lot of it is you have to put it on yourself to kind of try to do, and really, it's your ship. So I think I knew already from the debut that you're not just a creative on this, right? You're also a salesman. You're also a politician, you know? So I really was prepared for all that. I also was prepared for the fact that, you know, while it is a business, you're trying to make money. When you make a movie about our community in general, you shouldn't expect to make money. There's no money to be made in this community. I think that's the reality. I think it's hard to make. You can think of all the successful films, even Easter Sunday, which we had an eye on, you know, that didn't make maybe the money they wanted to, right? Mm-hmm. But anyone who delves into it, it's just, I'm not saying it's impossible, but you already know that that's already a hard climb when you're talking about a niche filmmaker, talking about a community. It's possible, but I'm just saying that I've already knew going in, like, I'm not, because of my experience at the debut, what to expect. Now, did I think the same thing was going to happen with Olympia? Well, I wasn't shocked when it happened, you know. I think that, you know, and aside from Gene telling me, I told you so, I don't know why you wanted to do this. But, you know, again, it's that hunger, right, to tell your stories. And I think what always validates it is just all the little wins that we got during Olympia of Vengeance, you know, winning the award. What's funny is that we won the same audience award that the debut won, and Yellow Rose won in Hawaii. So I always thought, I always kind of brag about that being like a good omen, like the fact that, okay, we're on the right path. Hitting Comic-Con and getting that and being, you know, just even having that audience come in, that was a big win. Getting distribution was a big win. So I'm not... So I always try to think of the positives. I think that's the one thing when you're in it, right? That, you know, and I think that's the one blessing that the movie had was the fact that it had backers, right? I think the debut was weird because it had to build its audience. But with Olympia of Vengeance, because there were backers that had put in the funding, even though the funding was just for development, we knew that they were waiting, and we used the fact that, okay, we can't give up because there are like 700 backers who backed us, and we want to make sure we make a movie that they would be, you know, happy or felt like it was worthy to put their name on there. So that was kind of like the mindset of the fact what Gene and the debut and just being in that experience prepared me for, right? I'm not, you know, other things, you know, financial stuff, you know, that I'm not, it's, you're not going to get rich off this project.
And the one thing that I do admire from afar, from watching your grind and seeing what Gene went through, is that for things that you have passion about, you do have to have a thick skin. And if it's something that you're deeply passionate about, it's, you're going to go through the criticisms. And like you said, unfortunately, whether it be films or even Filipino food, Filipinos are... Hard to satisfy.
What? Oh, that's for sure. I mean, look. I pay attention to what people. I didn't make an Oscar. We didn't make an Oscar-winning movie, but you focus on the little wins and the fact that the movie's out there, and so the fact that people are debating it. I mean, obviously, I can tell you with confidence that the movie, as we all do as filmmakers, starting like, oh, this is going to be a work of art, cinema, and you're spending every frame, you know, like trying to, and so I see the movie that way, where like maybe a third of the movie, it's like, wow, we took our time and made sure. And then at some point we're like, oh my God, we're running out of money. We gotta like, it's just, it's more important to finish this. And it was like, bam, bam, bam. We would do like four sets in one day. And it was like, just getting it done. I mean, I think that's the good thing about film. Like, there's finding that right balance, right? Danny Trejo joining us was a blessing. It was like he joined mid-production. It was one of those things that very rarely, and, you know, I say this all the time, Hollywood is all full about rejections. And then when someone in Hollywood, in this case Danny Trejo, Machete, says yes, well, you gotta try to weave him in. So, you know, the financial stuff was always hard, but we sacrificed getting him in to the point where, okay, we had to shut down production earlier, but that's why we shut down the movie. It was like, okay, well, now we have Danny in the can, maybe we can use that to raise funds. And luckily we were able to continue filming, but that was a big decision. I mean, again, a Lonely Island decision I keep talking about. It was like, I had to decide that, like, you know, like, finish the movie without Danny Trejo year one, or have Danny Trejo come on and like shut down, and then hopefully you use this trailer to bring. So I, in hindsight, yeah, I mean, how many, I don't have a stats person, like how many more views or buys did Danny Trejo on this movie get more eyeballs on? I don't know, maybe got his Comic-Con, who knows? But for me as a nerd, the fact I can brag the Machete's in freaking my movie is like a badge of honor. And he said yes. I didn't have to drag him to my film. You know?
And just a reminder to our listeners and our viewers of the Filipino American National News, we have Filipino American director Patricio Janelsa on the show. As we alluded to earlier, you're not just a director, you've delved into the comic book realm. You spoke of Comic-Con, and for those who are just deeply into love of comics, there's a connection with Lumpia with a Vengeance and the San Diego Comic-Con. How did that come about?
Yeah, so I'm a regular attendee of San Diego Comic-Con. My producer, Lawrence Ariate, I didn't realize he was an artist. He was a comic book artist before he got into film. So he already had the connection. Me and my family, we go already. When the movie did come out and during the pandemic, you know, we somehow got the movie and pitched the movie. The movie had won an award, and was because of the comic book, was already doing the runs to the festival. So they saw what they did. And I would say that all the pandemic became a blessing for us, because not only did we had to, you know, we had to delay everything in post, but I think with San Diego Comic-Con special edition, there's a moment in 2021 where they had canceled Comic-Con in 2020. And so we were given a spot because obviously the studios were there for that year, and we took advantage of it. And so that one opportunity that we came in, and they gave us not only a booth to sell comics and really promote our film, but they gave us a panel to not only talk about the movie, but we would screen it. That, you know, I talk about the man that I still relive that moment. It's almost like the same moment that when we kickstarted Lumpia the Vengeance the night it got crowdfunded the last night, like those huge miracle wins, you know. But that we had to turn away 500 people at San Diego Comic Con. There was such a long line for our panel because they put us in this small 200 seat a panel. But the reason why there were so many people was because we were the only really big movie. There were no studio films. It was like we took advantage of the fact that there weren't any other films out there. But it's not like, okay, this is the only thing in time to watch it. People loved it. They clapped. It was almost the one thing that San Diego Comic-Con, whether or not you've been there or not, it's like I think the what people love at the cons are discovering new things, right? I mean, you get the usual Marvel and DC and the big Hollywood films, but it's always discovering something that you would normally not really, you know, find out elsewhere. And we were that big discovery that year, so big that we came back the following year when it was a normal Comic-Con, and we even sold out that screening. We brought in, like, it's it's come to a point where, you know, the programmers, we're there every year now, not just San Diego Comic-Con, but WonderCon. And, you know, with this year, my whole life, the whole year is really geared towards really planning what we do for San Diego. So that's on the comic book front, but also launching a lot of my own pet projects and perhaps in live action as well and comic books. So, again, we're entering this unique phase because it's definitely post-Loompy with a Vengeance now, right? But people are still coming to our booth. We just finished WonderCon last month with another panel, you know? And so I just feel blessed. I always have to thank our Loompy lovers and backers because they're a fuel to our project. I'm not like the other folks and influencers that have like millions and thousands of followers. My social media doesn't show that, unfortunately. If I could wear another hat, I wish I was more of a social media, spend more time working on my videos. But, you know, I would rather write my comics, yes, to be honest with you.
At 40 years old, some of us start to slow down, but not the Klezmatics. Tuesday, May 27th, the Dakota brings you the Klezmatics. For almost 40 years, the Klezmatics have been universally regarded as the genre's most innovative band. Known and loved throughout the world, you never quite know what you'll be getting when you see them, but rest assured, it'll be amazing. Opening the show is Red Thread. Tickets for the Klezmatics can be found at the Dakota's website. Visit dakotacooks.com for more details.
Fresh Air Community Radio is KFAI-FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, online and archived at kfai.org, the community.